Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's 6 minutes past 6 o'clock. Politics with a cup of coffee. Now, let's try this one on for size. What if we're all wrong? What if all the critics are all wrong, and the Oregon Republican Party actually gets enough signatures to recall Kate Brown? Is that the way to victory? Is that the path to victory, to returning this state to some common sense, some balance, even more importantly, to conservative values? I've got a great email from a listener that I want to share with you all about that today, but I got to ask that question. What happens if we're all wrong? Those of us who have in large measure thought, yeah, I mean, I get the idea, but there's no way they're going to succeed with this. What if we're all wrong? And a true grassroots support, not funded by any real amount of money. What if we're all wrong? And the people, the grassroots and anger, and the dislikability of Kate Brown is enough to get the signatures. Now, if you're a political observer, and most of you are, that's why you listen to the show, what would that say to you in your mind, in your heart? What would that say to you? There's a story in the Statesman Journal about this. I want to talk about it. I also want to talk about, okay, so let's say that that happens. What would be the winning messages that would be used in a campaign to convince Oregon voters that the governor they had just reelected has gone so far off the rails, you got to get rid of her? No, I'm serious. So I'm asking you today, this show is going to be a little bit different today because I'm going to ask you often and early right now to tell me what you think would be maybe the top three messages, and no more than three. And the reason I say no more than three, because most people can't grasp the more than three reasons. There's, as you know, there's a long list of messages of people who are trying to recall Kate Brown, both the Oregon Republican Party and flush down Kate Brown, Michael Cross and his crew. The long list of, I think, to borrow a phrase from the Declaration of Independence, usurpations, right? Well, what are the top three? What are the top three messages about Kate Brown's, her just dislikability as to why people should recall her? What are the top three in your mind? What are you hearing? When people talk about the recall, what are the main reasons that they express to you as to why that we should recall Kate Brown? Are they real policy reasons? Or is it maybe just the fact that she's dislikable? A lot like Hillary Clinton, that likability problem. And I'm quite serious now. Is it just a feeling? Or is it everything combined that creates that feeling? This is not a good person to have as your governor. Remember when I talked yesterday about the Oregonian editorial? It really hit Kate hard on this whole business. She's dragging her feet, right, on this special session to deal with the problem the Democrats created for themselves, and that is this retroactivity of all these heinous murderers on death row, basically saying they all get a new shot at justice. Well, how the anguish and the emotion that creates for all of these families of these victims. Well, okay, so let's say that is an emotional issue, the foot dragging, and the fact that she's not caring. doesn't come across as caring. Because, frankly, folks, that's not who she is. Well, I'm sure she cares about some people, but, you know, I want to be careful what I say here, folks, and I mean this seriously. Because I don't like being overly negative here. I mean, it's not my reason for being behind the microphone and having these conversations with you. It truly isn't. The whole reason I do this radio show is because I want to spur you through thinking about the political issues of the day, whether they're here locally or they're national or worldwide, and again, using them through interesting questions that you can ask people and persuade people, questions you can ask to get people to thinking, people that are in your persuadable world of influence, because each of us have them. That's the purpose of this show. And if I don't want to be negative, but we have political realities that are in front of us, and one of them is this recall campaign. Story in the Statesman Journal says the Oregon GOP is on track to collect enough signatures. Note, what if we're all wrong? Those of us who said, yeah, I mean, we kind of get it, but it ain't going to happen because there's just no way. It's not a strategy to victory. What if we're wrong that there is such a dissatisfaction with Kate Brown in who she is? That, in fact, the people will sign enough petitions. I mean, in all seriousness, what if we're wrong? What if the recall makes the ballot? We've got till October 14th. What if the recall makes the ballot? What are going to be the winning messages that will convince enough voters to vote out Kate Brown? 503-589-1220. I really want to know what you think are the top three winning messages. Because, you see, at this point, we're going to presume that, in fact, Kate Brown has done enough things to tick off enough Oregonians that they would sign a petition and that this thing's going to make the ballot. You got to remember that in 90 days, we have to hold an election. I mean, this would be a shockwave, would it not? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Now, this email that I'm going to get into here is very lengthy. It is from one of our listeners. This is a person who's highly educated, but is also very passionately conservative. And this person really calls into question whether the Republican Party can do anything in this state to get back to a conservative footing politically. So what do you think? Is the recall strategy a step in that direction? How could it go sideways and go against us? 503-589-1220. If, in fact, Oregon Republican Party is on track to get enough signatures to hold a recall election against Kate Brown, what are the top three issues in your mind that you think would work to convince enough voters to recall this governor? Now, it's happened before, not in Oregon so much, but remember Gray Davis down in California? They got rid of it. And who got elected? Arnold Schwarzenegger, a big-time moderate rhino Republican, if there ever was one, and a disaster as a governor ultimately. But so what do you think are the top three messages? And I truly want to hear from you, 503-589-1220. Think about it. Give me a call or send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. The reason I said I want to be careful, that I don't want to be overly negative here, is because, you know, I'm serious when I say that the way we fix this state is prayer and activity. Every one of us, again, getting into this mode and this way of thinking that we can influence our world. And you know what? If every one of us just took it upon ourselves to engage a few people in our world, whatever your world is, the persuadable people, and you know who they are. Again, don't waste your breath and your time trying to persuade somebody who's not persuadable. Okay? You kind of know who the people are that are persuadable, because they'll make little comments to you, or they don't fully embrace the far left narrative. Because you never know when you plant that seed. And the idea is you want to give people hope, friends. No, I'm quite sure. I don't want to overuse that term, because, you know, Obama just destroyed it. He did. Hope and change was such a lie. And so many people bought into it. But really, when I say prayer, prayer is about hope, isn't it? I mean, you have to believe that if you pray, you're hoping that God Almighty will hear your prayers and will listen to you and your requests and will do something. That's hope. Now, believe me, it's far more involved than that, and you know that, but I'm just being simplistic here. So when it comes to the state of Oregon and returning this state to some semblance of rationality, because it isn't right now, the crazy things they're thinking. Let me give you an example, and I want to weave this into the show today. The Breitbart had a story. You know this Monmouth poll that the major news media is talking about that says, you know, Joe Biden's lead has dropped by 13 points. There's another nugget in that poll that was used powerfully here in Oregon to give these Democrats a super narrative, a super majority, rather. It's part of the narrative. And it's health care. Okay? Nobody's talking about that except this Breitbart story. Here's the headline of this Breitbart story. Only 22% of Democrats prefer Medicare for all. Now, I'll unpack this as we go through the show here, but I want to keep all of this centered on this viewpoint. What if those of us that are the cynical political types, and that's why I want to be careful with the things I say about Kate Brown, because I pray for Kate Brown, and you should too. But doesn't mean that because you pray for her that she shouldn't be held accountable. When God holds us accountable, right? Our spouses hold us accountable. The law that we all abide by, supposedly, unless you're rich and powerful, and Hillary Clinton, you can get away with whatever you want, or Kate Brown, you get away with whatever you want, or John Kitzhaber, you get away with whatever you want. Although I have to say kudos to the Oregon Ethics Commission for holding both Kitzhaber and the first girlfriend somewhat accountable for their chicanery in the governor's office. But seriously, we have to be held accountable. So if there is going to be a recall campaign, what are going to be the top three messages that you think would move enough Oregonians to vote to recall Kate Brown? Now, in ensuing programs, we'll get into all of the other things that will happen if, in fact, she is recalled. But let's not get the cart before the horse, okay? 503-589-1220. What are your top three things, issues, messages that you think will convince enough voters to recall Kate Brown? I really want to hear from you. 503-589-1220. Emails, Jeff20.am. It is 20 minutes after. We'll be right back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 22 minutes past the top of the hour. So what if we're all wrong, those of us who are the cynical political types who just sort of poo-pooed the idea that the Oregon Republican Party could actually get enough signatures to recall Kate Brown. I mean, she just got reelected, right? She just had these spectacular wins, right, in the legislature? Well, maybe not. What if we're wrong? What happens then if we actually go to a campaign in 90 days? What would be the messages? In your mind, I want your top three messages In a moment, I'm going to go to the phones. Okay. Top three messages that you think would convince enough Oregon voters to get rid of Kate Brown. What do you think they would be? Or is it just a feeling about this woman? Especially after the revenge comment. What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Let's go to Jim, who's on the line. All right, Jim, tell me what your top three issues are that you think would convince Oregon voters to get rid of Kate Brown.
I guess number one would be medical. I just found out that they cured mental illness in Oregon. There's no way you can get put in a mental hospital now. They're just going to kill you on the streets or put you in prison and kill you. So I don't know if you know about this or not. I just found out about it the other night that they can't take a mental hold anymore. They just use a loophole. And so they either put you in jail or kill you if you're mentally ill in Oregon. Now they cured
it. All right, So back up for a second. That's news to me. Thank you for sharing it. But explain it. What do you mean you just found out about it and how they would kill you?
My son has mental illness. He has onset mental illness, and he had an episode. My wife passed away, and so we tried to get him to take him in, and after 2 weeks of trying, we find out that they've changed all the criteria on mental illness in the state of Oregon, and that I'd heard earlier that they shut down almost half the medical department, the mental illness department in Corvallis, and then I talked to all the doctors and everybody and the police, and they say, yeah, that all the mental illness in Oregon has been changed. And they can't take anybody on a medical hold anymore. They just use a loophole. They say either he's got to be homicidal or suicidal, and they can't ever prove that. So I couldn't get him took in. Finally, they took him in on a public safety thing and then let him out the next night when he needed to be in for at least 11 to 12 days. So I was up all night dealing with that. And then all of a sudden there's a rise. Why I say people's dying, there's a spike in people dying all through the Sweet Home and area, all these mentally ill people. Have no recourse, and if they'll kill them on the streets or they'll put them in jail, but they won't take them in and help them in the hospital anymore.
I was totally unaware of that. That's the first I've heard of that. Is that a result of the legislative action, or did the state government make a rule change?
State government made a rule change.
Okay, interesting. Wow. So you think that's an issue that would move Oregon voters, blaming that on Kate?
Well, I think that it needs to be checked into. I'm kind of a whistleblower because people are dying over this already. I was wondering why there was such a spike in Sweet Home alone. We've had several shootings and hostage situations. And, you know, people with mental illness, they don't know any. I mean, they need to be in the hospital, and there's no hospital for them anymore. There's no way to put them in there.
Yeah, you know, I think this was one of what you've just said for a long time is, you know, I'm a former state legislator, as you know, and I got to tell you, I've disagreed with this whole direction of not keeping people in the mental hospital. You know, this business of community mental health, you know, turning the criminally insane. And that's what we've done. And now you're just telling me something I was totally aware of that even creates a greater danger to the community. And So the issue of public safety in terms of mental illness and not being able to take care of people who need help, that's an issue that you think could be communicated to people successfully in recalling Kate Brown.
I think so, because, you know, it's going to affect everybody. I couldn't understand why these people were having so many hostage situations and people shooting people. And, you know, when I took them in before over in Corvallis, and, you know, it must be some sort of with the medical regulations, you know, so they don't have to put them in there to save money. And they save money and they put the people in danger in our town, and they also put these mentally ill people with no hope. They're in danger too, so they're going to get killed in the system. I mean, this is very, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm still in shock. Can you tell?
Yeah, no, I am too. I mean, that's, look, you can basically use the Oregon's law, red flag law, with the Second Amendment. If somebody who's in your family who's depressed, you can get their guns taken away and they got to spend a bunch of money going in front of a judge. And you're telling me that you as a family member is telling the system, so to speak, that you have a child who's got problems and they need help and you need to take him into custody and they won't. That just
seems dumb. He has constitutional rights and that they can't infringe upon him. they're using loopholes in the law to endanger people.
Yeah, well, we also have a constitutional right to be safe from people who are criminally insane. Jim, thanks for calling, and I'm sorry to hear this about your son. First of all, I deeply appreciate you both listening and for sharing that with us. That's Jim. Jim, thanks for the call. Be safe out there today. So,
All right.
There's an issue for you that follows, I think, nicely with that story, the Oregon editorial that we talked about yesterday, how Kate Brown dismisses with her foot dragging on the special session on the death penalty. It tells you about her character. Her revenge comment tells you about her character. So now has Jim just presented another reason? I mean, nobody knows about this. I didn't know about that until he just called. I mean, that's serious stuff. Because what happens then? If you've got people who have mental issues that are in your community, what are they doing in your community? What crimes are they committing? It's just, this is bad policy, folks. But even more importantly, it emotionally impacts you incredibly. Again, I go back to yesterday. This Oregon editorial, really, in a backhanded way, they did it without even knowing how to do it. They gave us ammunition to use, each of us individually, to be persuasive with people in our world about Kate Brown, about the general ideas of totalitarian Marxist thinking. Now, the Democrats used the issue in Oregon of health care. Has health care, they used it against Republicans very successfully in the last election here in Oregon. Has it gotten any better under Kate Brown? Mental health, like we just heard from Jim. What are the top three issues you think that would convince Oregonians to get rid of Kate Brown if, as this story says today, the Republican Party is on track to get enough names, signatures, by October 14th to get rid of her, to put her to a vote? What do you think? We're at the bottom of the hour. Back in a moment. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you with us if you're just joining us here on Political Coffee. So what if we're all wrong and the Republicans in Oregon are, in fact, going, the Oregon Republican Party's launched this recall campaign against Kate. What if they get enough signatures? There's a story today in the Statesman Journal that says they're on track to get enough signatures. So if that happens, then we got to have a recall election in 90 days, according to Oregon's Constitution. So in your mind, what would be the top three issues, or maybe just the top issue that you think would convince enough Oregon voters to kick Kate Brown out of office? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I'll read them on the air. Wolfie, Wolftone, sends me an email. Says, my number one reason for recalling Kate Brown is her disrespect for the wishes of the voters. Like the death penalty issue. We vote for one thing, and then she and others do just the opposite, or pass laws which prevent us putting it to a vote. Now, you've hit on something here. This is one of the things that angers voters the most, is that when they vote for something, the legislators undo it. And what that tells, I think, voters, and what I'll tell you what tells me, just the arrogance of the legislature to not abide by the will of the people. Now, I don't agree with everything that the people have voted with here in Oregon, like death with dignity, the ban on bear and cougar hunting. I've always disagreed with those things, but they are what the people have voted for, so we have to respect it. If we don't like it, then we change it by convincing enough people to re-vote on it, okay? But to do what Kate has done, to disrespect is a powerful emotional thing, isn't it? Now, that's a feeling. That's not any one particular issue. But if there are, maybe it's the feeling. And we'll go to the phones in a moment here. But even so, is it possible that this issue is actually a strategy? Now, basically what I'm saying here is tapping into voter anger. Is that a strategy? See, one of those news stories that came along right after the Republicans had announced the recall was, it was an Oregonian story, and I've got it up on the computer screen. It's a quote from Julie Parrish, that tapping into voter anger is not a strategy. I respectfully disagree, Julie, because Julie became a state legislator as a result of voter anger. It's called the Tea Party movement. It was called the incredible things that happened in 2010. That was all about voter anger. But can this be the beginning of conservative changes, conservative candidates winning in Oregon? Interesting, isn't it? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. What are your top three reasons, or maybe your top reason as to why you think enough voters in Oregon would be convinced to recall Kate Brown? Would love to hear your thoughts on that. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning. What do you think?
Yes. Obviously, my number one, and I've talked about it a lot, is the disrespect for our rights under the Constitution, not only on the federal level, but also the state level. We voted not to give illegal aliens licenses. What did the legislature do? And Kate signed it into law. We're going to issue driver's licenses. We voted that if the threshold of taxes goes over a certain amount, that we were entitled to get our money back. And what did the legislature do and Kate Brown do? They took it away from us, even though the Constitution said that money was ours.
Talking about the kicker.
You know, federal law making Oregon a state, sanctuary state, when it violates federal law, is disrespect for our federal law. And, you know, that's my main reason. I'm also very concerned, obviously, about our educational system, where, you know, our kids are being taught, you know, that transgenderism is okay and you should, and right now there's federal lawsuit for girls that these states who allow males to compete against them in sports, you know, it discriminates against them because obviously, Jeff, men who are born men have physical attributes that women just don't have and these girls don't have, so they're losing scholarships and the whole nine yards, and mothers across the state of Oregon. And our state believes that, too. Kate believes that it's okay to do that. And that's what another thing that we need to stand up for is that we truly have a good educational system that doesn't, that promotes promiscuity instead of going out and our children having sex and getting sexually transmitted diseases, et cetera, et cetera. But those, they all
reason.
Weigh about the same. Is as I've said before, this emergency clause where it takes away our right to vote on issues that we deserve to vote on. But, as you know, Kate has signed many laws into effect who have the emergency clauses denying us the right, our right to speak out if we think a law is fair or not.
Okay. Well, that was about six different reasons, and they're all valid, Art, and I appreciate you calling. Thanks for the time today, friends, because I need to move on here. 503-589-1220, the Power Buick GMC talk line. What are your top three reasons that you think would move enough Oregonians to actually get rid of Kate Brown in a recall election? Because it looks like the Oregon Republican Party is going to get enough signatures. 503-589-1220, emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Everything Art just articulated, every one of those issues evokes emotions within us. You know, I go back to what Wolfie, the email he wrote me. The being disrespected, our will as the voters being disrespected. Disrespect is a feeling. It's not a policy issue, is it? But nonetheless, it impacts your life. It's important. Now, so also is the business of your... I want to get to the last thing that Art articulated there. Is this business of taking away your right to vote. That's a fundamental thing that we're guaranteed. Except when the legislature abuses it and Kate Brown abuses it. In each of these situations, take for instance turning Oregon into a sanctuary state. The way you would use that and the way you could use it in conversations with people is to say, you know, Kate's turned Oregon into a sanctuary state that protects criminal illegal aliens who prey on women, who rape, and who destroy the lives of women. It's a fact. And Sergio Martinez is that prime example of that. That's how you begin conversations or make incredibly good points in a conversation with someone who might be persuadable. It's just one of the ways. What I'm saying is you got to emotionalize it. Disrespect is an emotion. So is wanton disregard for your will. Like Wolfie says, we the people vote something in, take illegal alien driver's licenses. We got rid of that thing by a 2-to-1 margin, being outspent 13-to-1. It passed in 35 out of 36 Oregon counties, and it barely failed in Multnomah County, which is full of liberals and Democrats. And yet 6 years later, what does the legislature do? They unwind it. Now, that's not just disrespect, but it's also an arrogance. And I'm telling you, folks, these are emotions. And if you have conversations with people, you need to evoke emotions from people that move them to a place where they're thinking about these things. I want to remind you that our friends at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial, right next to Safeway in South Salem, have some great CBD oil products. Yesterday, I was in a Bi-Mart store returning something. I'm talking to the lady at the counter there. And we got talking about farming and the subject of hemp came up. I don't know how, but it did. I don't remember how it came up. I told her I was growing a few acres of hemp and that, you know, CBD oil was working. And she told me the story about how it was helping her husband with all kinds of problems. And it made a dramatic difference in his health. And then she told me it was helping her son. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, those are good reasons to think about using CBD oil. So go down and talk with the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. When I come back, more of your phone calls. What are the top three reasons that you think would convince Oregon voters to recall Kate Brown if Republicans get enough signatures? And this incredible email about conservative opinion.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, so I'm asking this question, and we've got people lined up on the phones, and we're going to get to it here. I'm asking this question. If the Oregon Republican Party actually gets enough signatures to hold a recall election, which has to be, they have to turn in signatures on October 14th. If they get enough, within 90 days, we have to have a recall election. So what do you think? What do you think are the three top, or maybe the top issue that could move Oregon voters to kick her out of office? Would love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. We'll start first with Janet on the phones. Janet, good morning. What do you think?
Good morning. I enjoy listening to your show. My three reasons are that you and other callers have given the many, many reasons that we all are thinking out here in radio land. But I, as one, she's lost touch with the common people. She doesn't even stay in Salem. She stays in Portland because that's where she's being fawned upon by her followers. And my third reason is she's a liberal that thinks she's above reproach with the way the as the media with their false statements. She says something that people want to hear, and then she knows in her mind what she really wants. But the common thing is the common people that she's forgot about, the farmers, the people that are out doing the living and producing things in this state, like our loggers. She thinks she's above all of that, and she's forgotten what her, like Colin Gosky, you know, he did a good job. He was a Democrat, but he did, I feel, a good job, and that's my three reasons.
Janet, thank you very much. They're all good reasons, and I appreciate it. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling. Let's move on to Tim, who's on the line. Tim, your top three reasons why Oregon voters would recall Kate Brown.
Jeff, I've got two pages I wrote, so I'll get to one.
Yeah, okay.
We have to educate. It doesn't make any difference what our ideas are versus theirs if we can't educate, because that's what creates the emotion. One I wrote down was, the kicker. Do they know why we created the kicker? Do they know how they received the kicker? Can they calculate how much they'll receive? Because I think if you taught them how to calculate it, it means more than about $500 per person. Well, here you do it. Take your income, multiply it by a certain percentage. That's your money. And why? I don't know how to do it. I haven't the foggiest idea.
No, you just said how to do it, because you're a banker, so you're a numbers guy. You get all of that, but you also hit on the key to it, and that is, it's your money. That's the emotional part of that's what the kicker represents. This is your refund. This is your kicker refund. You earned it. Government didn't earn it. It's your money. Government, if they don't need it all, needs to give it back to you. That's a principled position.
And to Jeff, that is just an additional tax than what you're paying. Because it's not necessarily just yours. That's another tax.
You're absolutely right. It ends up being another tax. Absolutely correct. Right. So what else you got?
Oh, well, another one was education. There are a lot of things I don't want the school to do. Just like when we talked about vaccinations and everybody got up and in arms because they didn't want the government telling them what they'll do with their children. Why would that be any different than education?
Well, it shouldn't be any different. But I think a lot of parents look at a public education like what we say in the military, fire and forget. You know, you send your kids to school, forget about them, and because they're going to take care of them, and you go off and live your life. And when they come home, you ask them a little bit about how the school went. You know, you're not involved. You don't really care about your kids' education. And I think that's what they look at schools as being. And frankly, I tell you, if I were a teacher today, it is tough because people basically turned over their kids to teachers to rear them up. That ain't how it's supposed to be. Not my opinion.
That's correct, Jeff. And we don't know as parents what I do when I send my son or daughter to school. What are they doing to my son or daughter? Because they live with and I live with what they teach.
That's right, because it forms opinions, and those people vote eventually, or don't, because then maybe they're cynical. Tim, thank you. I appreciate your thoughts today. You're absolutely right on the money. You know, the kicker issue, again, this gets back to a point. It's your money. Nobody likes having to give up more of their money in taxes or fees or anything else. Nobody likes it. Liberal or conservative, it doesn't matter. You don't want government wasting your money, and Kate has presided over a lot of waste of your money. But even more important is the kicker issue. That's a very emotional thing because it's your money. Now, we're talking conservative ideas here, but they're based in basic human nature. And if we can take the things about basic human nature here, as even as conservatives, and use them through thoughtful review or thinking about questions, about these things that are going on here, we can make a difference. We can improve. We can persuade. So I got this email, and it's called Expectations Versus Entrenched Realities. It says, Jeff, I have to be honest with you about my expectations of seeing Republicans make any significant advances in the 2020 election cycle. In fact, they're very low. I say this not because some don't know what needs to be done, you definitely do, but rather because there are so many big obstacles to overcome to bring an overwhelming conservative victory in November 2020. We know we need to communicate to people's hearts their feelings. We know we need to reach the independent, non-affiliated voters. We know we have to have a compelling message that captures the hearts of women and millennials in Portland and Eugene. We know we need to combat the progressive totalitarian Marxist message and movement with an incredible organization of volunteers. Here's what he says. To engage people, rather, personally with emotionally oriented questions. But, he writes, but the entrenched political machine and the in-your-face strategy of the Marxists that will keep us from achieving our vision will likely in the end outweigh our noble expectations and vision to return Oregon to conservative governance. Let's be honest. We have to face the realities that confront us. If we refuse to do so, we're just fooling ourselves. To bring about an overwhelming conservative victory, he lists five things here. Find strong conservative candidates who will fight like Trump. Not employ and listen to the professional advisors who can't win a race for dog catcher if their life depended on it. Creatively and in an overwhelming strategic manner, saturate and continue to saturate Oregon with a message that hits the hearts of all Oregonians and causes them to vote in conservative people and ideals. And he goes on, and these are important things. And he's hit on something here, and you know what? Probably going to take more than one show to talk this through. So that means you should come back tomorrow, because we'll have more of it then. Folks, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for each and every one of you listening. Make it a great day today as you start that car and get rolling. We'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you will be too. See you then.